Father, help us to turn our heart and affections away from this world and to become kingdom-minded, seeking only your will, your face in every situation. And we thank you now for this word in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've got a title here today. It's really a word of exhortation and just really to remind us and encourage us in the faith. And we're calling this teaching, Let God Guard Your Heart and Mind. Let God guard your heart and mind. You know, often we wonder why our prayers are hindered or not always answered, or why maybe I'm not healed. Although I thought I prayed in faith, believing, and so on. You know, a lot of our defeat, frustration, worry, as a Christian, lies by the fact that we're not dealing with these doubts that we should be. And we know that the enemy attacks the mind. That is where he knows, probably many, many times, he gets the Christian's attention. Until we come to a place where we find ourselves crying out to God for his help, his mercy, his grace, to bring this change, this deliverance in our mind, in our thinking. You see, the wonderful thing about it is, and this is why I encourage us to keep coming and listening, the enemy eventually defeats himself because the very things that he tries to attack us with are the very things that God uses in which to turn it around and create a miracle on our behalf and for his glory. It's called all things work together for good. And this is why we keep coming, we keep listening to the word. Because this is where the enemy is defeated. And particularly with our minds. There are times when we wonder whether we can really ever have the mind of Christ. We're told to put on the mind of Christ. It's like putting on a cloak. And we realize that it's a work, it's a process. It's not just going to happen overnight. But if you walk humbly before God and you're seeking his kingdom, his righteousness, we're going to find that even those doubts that you battle with, God is going to use them in which to target it straight back at the enemy. That is why our God is a miraculous working God. Satan would not attack the weakest part, the vulnerable part of man, which is his mind, unless he knows that God can and does work on our minds and our hearts in which to defeat him. And I always take great comfort in that, that at times when I feel I'm under attack, my mind can be all over the place and the enemy seems to be having a field day. I very often just rest and let it in many ways just do its course, just remembering and reminding the enemy that I have the mind of Christ. I will often at times just be speaking in tongues in the spirit. And you find in time that you come through that trial, that test. You see, these are all things that we've been taught to apply and do with regard to our minds. You see, the understanding whether our minds are in tune with God, and that is, of course, that we have the mind of Christ, It's always accompanied by peace. There's a peace that is attached to it. And this is why I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We know this very well here in this assembly, but we're going to look at this again. And he says here in Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So he goes right to the root of the problem. We know that our Lord deals with anxiety in other places where he refers to seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and so on. Because the enemy likes to get us to be anxious, worried, confused, fearful, doubting, all of these things that we are so familiar with. But the secret here is the peace of God. You see, much of our battles are won or lost with the mind. And you've got to remember that, brothers and sisters. You may be going through a season where you feel you're losing the battle. There seems to be too many defeats going on at the moment in my life. And we do go through periods like that. It seems as though the enemy has the upper hand. But remember, the battle is won or lost with your mind. And very often, the Lord is using circumstances to speak, to show you, what are you believing in your mind? You see, the enemy is so subtle that he lets you think that that is you, or that is God speaking to you. This is why it takes a time to get this deliverance in the mind. And this, of course, is one of the awful, awful problems with, sadly, even those that profess Christ who have schizophrenia. They do not know what voice to believe. They're not sure what voice is speaking. So their lives are unstable. It opens the door to depression and oppression. They make wrong choices, wrong decisions. They become unsettled in relationships. This is what it does. And there are many, many people who are gripped in their minds by demonic holes. This is one of the things that we are seeing now in the falling away in these last days. So many minds are disturbed, confused. We've just seen it recently amongst Christendom. I don't know whether you've heard, but it's all been online, on Instagram, that some big names in ministry, and again, it's in the US, have worked out that the rapture could well be on the 21st or the 22nd of September. And they've worked it out with the feasts, the Jewish feasts, and the lining up of stars and solar systems and all this business that goes on. And they're sort of telling you to be ready. We believe that this could well be it, and so on. Well, people have come up and said exactly what Jesus said in the Word, said, we don't know the time. We don't know when. God hasn't given it. Even his Son doesn't know it until the Father reveals it. But do they listen? No. But the point I'm saying is, many follow this. It shook me how many were embracing, because these are so-called Bible teachers, highly respected. We can see now how the Antichrist is coming and will come and will deceive most of the world and those who call themselves Christians. That's what spoke to me through this. And he's going to come with lying signs and wonders. And if they believe this rubbish, how much more when he comes on the scene? And what is so tragic that these false prophets that promote this sort of thing have landed up with egg on their face. Will they turn to God and repent? Doesn't look as though they are. And the people that follow them and embrace all of this? No, they're proud, they're arrogant. Why do they embrace this? Because all of this comes out of the broad way. The people want the broad way. They refuse the narrow way into the kingdom that Jesus presented. Because it entertains them. It appeals to their emotions. It must be of God. Look how many hundreds of thousands follow this ministry. And it's just tragic. We've seen it just recently over this political leader there, Charlie Kirk. And I'm not condoning that. I'm not, that was wrong. You don't kill, you don't murder for anyone's political views or whatever it would be. We fight for democracy and freedom of speech. That's why we pray for our governments. But the point I'm making is, look how they have elevated all of this, the idolatry. And they follow this, thinking it's God. We are facing, this is telling us, brothers and sisters, the times that we are living in now. And why am I stressing all of this? Because the minds are under attack. They cannot discern any longer. And this is the problem. They don't know what to turn to. And this is why Jesus said, you have to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the spirit from above. And his mind being recreated in us. That's why, and this is why I'm addressing this. Because every time we come together under the anointing, the word of God, God is working deliverance in our minds. There go we by the grace and mercy of God. We could follow all that lot. But God is doing something. And he's showing, don't follow this stuff. It's all of the flesh. And we are of the Spirit. Romans 8. And it takes something like this. And sometimes the Lord will just stand back and let the enemy have access for a season. And you watch. Most of them go like lambs to the slaughter, believing this stuff. But the point is, what do they do when they find themselves deceived? That's the question. And I pray in God's mercy that a lot of these leaders that have promoted all this stuff, they truly will repent and bow that knee, because it will be fearful on that day of judgment. So the question that we remain, that we're raising then with this subject is, how can my mind remain focused on God? Particularly in times of trials and testings, when it seems my mind is all over the place. Well, one of the things, of course, is praying in the Spirit. Jude 20, building yourself up in your most holy faith. I find when my mind is really under attack, I'm really going in tongues. You've got to do it, brothers and sisters. Don't put it off. You can do it around the house. You can do it when you're driving the car. There is many opportunities we can just be in tongues, in the spirit, which helps us to focus our mind and heart back on him. But of course, the first thing he says in what we've just read in Philippians 4, he says quite clearly, verse 5 and 6 of Philippians 4, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he deals with this anxiety. Why does God make so much about anxiety? Why is it he deals with it? He deals with it quite a lot in this assembly. I notice it comes up a lot. So there's a reason for this. Anxiety is always an invite for the enemy to come in. When you become anxious, you are welcoming him in. You're saying, come on in, I'm anxious. That's what you're doing. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's what you do when you humble yourself. When you tell him, I'm battling. My mind is under a battle. My mind is all over the place, Lord. I cast this upon you to deal with this anxiety that's trying to get in. That's how you do it. And then that gets the enemy off your back. In other words, you tell him you are not welcome and you are not going to use this anxiety that is attacking me. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. So he means everything that you commit to God, that you ask of the Lord. He says, not only do that, but do it with thanksgiving. So that when you pray for that deliverance in your mind, closing the door to anxiety and whatever it is, praise and thank him. He's heard you. Your deliverance is on the way. I'm going to walk in this victory that Christ has wrought for me. You may not be getting it because you're not adding the thanksgiving. The thanksgiving is an indication you believe you have received by faith. You see, it's all there if we spend the time to study God's word. And he says, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he says, let them be known. Bring these requests before me. I'm here, waiting, ready to deal with this. How often do we push him away? When he's there, waiting to help us in these situations. That's why we're calling this teaching, let God guard your heart and mind. He's the only one who can do it. He is your guard, holding the fort, watching out for the enemy. He's guarding over you. He gives his angels charge over you, Psalm 91. And do it with thanksgiving. You see, our weakness in trial is we become selfish and self-centered. And we become unthankful. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to hold you in those trials. He wants to hold you in that anxiety because it causes you to become self-centered. It gets you to take your eyes off the Lord. You become selfish. You become self-centered and unthankful. And God can't answer prayers with that. That's why sometimes your prayers go no higher than the ceiling. And then you battle that. You think, well, what's the point in praying? They don't get answered. Here it is. Here's where he's showing the deliverance lies. This is a huge problem in Christendom. I'm dealing with it almost every day now, online. You see it in the writings of these people. There's no victory in their life. They're all the while griping and moaning, doing exactly what the children of Israel were doing. Always criticizing something or someone else, or it's the government's fault, or it's the husband's fault, or the children, whatever it is. Exactly what the children of Israel were doing, and in the end, God gave them up. Because they've fallen for the devil's lie. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks is the will of God. Do you want to know what the will of God is? There it is. And you might be saying to yourself, oh wow, I didn't think it was as simple and as straightforward as that. There it is. In everything, give thanks. Because giving thanks to God is a sign that you believe you've received by faith. That you believe that what God is going to do. Otherwise, why thank? If you're not thanking him much, it's a clear sign that you're not believing. You're not receiving. Because people who receive, thank. This is why I'm a great believer that parents should be very strong over their children when they're given presents, or from family or grandparents or what it is, that they reply with thanks. This is something that so lacks today amongst parenting. And so children grow up to take it all for advantage. Same principle with the Lord. We have to thank him. Not only for our salvation, that he loved us first, but that he's heard my prayers, my requests. He's heard my faith, and I'm thanking him. And of course, when it's manifest, we praise and thank him. I often thank God for the very smallest things at times, when sometimes I lose the house keys and I can't find them. And sometimes, you know, the Lord just takes your mind back. What was the last coat you were wearing or whatever it is? And you can feel that anxiety because you've got to go out. You've got an appointment, whatever it is, and you can't go out because you can't find the keys. And then suddenly you find them at the last minute. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. You know, he loves even little things like that. Not taking it for granted. And this is where you're going to find peace and deliverance coming with your mind and heart. It closes the door to all these anxieties and doubts and unbelief. God's telling us how we can walk in this. But we don't always choose to hear, do we? So, what does it say as we go back to Philippians, which we're looking at today? Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 7. And here we look in verse 7, and he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So for faith to work, it needs these conditions. It needs the power of God to guard your hearts and minds. And when the power of God is guarding your heart and mind, you are like Abraham, who walked before God and persuaded by God that he was faithful. These saints recording in Hebrews 11 are there for a reason, because their minds were now being guarded by Almighty God. He's the fortress over the mind. And so they're persuaded. Doubting is not on the agenda at all. And if you stay with this, brothers and sisters, this is the realm, the walk you are going to come into with God. And that's why, if we are not sure, we're not sure about these doubts and unbelief and everything, then God tells us, if we lack wisdom, then we ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. But we're to ask in faith, not doubting, in all of these things. And God will lead and guide us. But this is where faith works in these conditions. It's the power of God that guards your heart and mind. And this is vital for the parable of the sower, for seed to be sown in my heart. For faith comes by hearing the word. But what do we see? Also something else in verse 7. He says, "The peace of God which surpasses all understanding." So the work that God does by guarding your mind, my mind, passes all understanding. In other words, don't try and analyze it. Don't try and work it out. Just walk in it and be blessed by it and see the mighty hand of God working on your behalf. That's what he's saying. What do we read in the Gospel of John? John 14 and verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There we are, the Lord speaking that peace into the mind and heart and spirit. Those words are his words right now to each one of us as we are listening to this teaching. "Peace I leave with you, because I haven't left you. I'm with you. I am peace in your life." That's what it means. Because you cannot get this peace from the world. And we still look to the world. We still want to rely on the world and the world's resources and live like the world. And that's why your mind isn't at peace. It's contrary. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Why does he refer to the heart? Trouble, because the heart and the mind are connected. What is in your heart will be in your mind, and in your mind, in your heart. Jesus clearly revealed this, and only he can change the heart. And how is it changed? By hearing this word, as we receive the seed of this word into our hearts. The parable of the sower. But all God does, most of it, all passes our understanding. He doesn't want us to know all of this. Why? Because he wants you with that simple, childlike faith to believe. A child won't ask questions about all of this. They'll just believe. And that's exactly what he's saying of us. In actual fact, the Lord is giving quite a lot away how he does it. So that should be an encouragement to us. And so as we bring this to a conclusion, we can only walk in all these blessings if we're truly born again from above by the Spirit. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit, sealed, empowered, so that we can walk this walk. We should be speaking in those tongues that keep us in that faith and in that rest. That's the reason why he's given us the speaking in tongues. It's a lot more than just the gift of tongues and interpretation to edify the body, and all of that is most important, but there's a lot more to it. It's to keep us focused on the Lord and, of course, his word. That we receive the anointed word. The anointed word, or the unction of the anointing, means revelation to us. And it means also that he renews the mind. You cannot help but listen to the deeper life teaching and not experience a renewing of your mind. I'm always aware of that when I'm listening to the deeper life teaching. And it builds us up in the faith and in love and in fellowship, in unity and in oneness. It builds me up in believing and not doubting. It builds me up where I can act my faith and appropriate it, receive my healing and my deliverances. It just goes on. It will deal with my will, my obedience, doing it God's way. I have everything to gain by following the narrow way with God, because the broad way leads to destruction. And so many professing believers just want to walk that way. And you know why? They've never surrendered their will, their heart. They've never settled the cross in their lives. And not only does the narrow way bring blessings and everything, but it removes those obstacles, those mountains. It works humility within me. It keeps my knees bowed in God's presence, so that he doesn't reject me, push me away. And above all, he becomes my guard. And anything that is of value has to be guarded. If it is priceless treasure, it has to be guarded. And that is why, as I close, you are God's peculiar, priceless treasure, and he is going to guard it. He's not going to let the enemy touch it or steal it, because he's taken too much already. What a great comfort, brothers and sisters. And he's showing us how he does it. So why do we fight, resist him? Why do we want to keep walking independently of him? If you don't understand, then ask God to open your eyes, what it means for him to guard me, to guard my mind, my thinking, my walk. And he'll show you. And oh, you will be so thankful. You really will. We're willful, stubborn beings. And God in his mercy has to break that all down so that we yield to do the will of God. Because we don't know otherwise. We don't know what is round the corner. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We think we're in control, but we're not. We're not. So let God guard your heart and mind. That is what he's saying to us today, saints. And I trust it's been a blessing, a deliverance, a help, an encouragement.